Welcome to Live with Chris. Today is Monday, September the 20th. It's just around 10 a.m. It's a beautiful fall morning. That's when we are recording this new segment on this Monday morning, September 20th. And we are in transition. We are in transition to a new season. We're in transition to fall. Not that I'm ready to ever let the heat of the summer go away, but, you know, sometimes change can be scary. Sometimes change, we can be a little apprehensive about it. And I know that HCC is also growing and HCC is also changing, and we're changing for the better. We are actually in the midst of building a new mathematics and sports athletics complex. And I know that that has created some wondering and some questions, and you know, like I said, I mean, this is an easy transition. It should be, right, from summer to fall, because it happens every year and we know what's going to happen. Here we're talking about a new building that's coming. We don't know what that's going to be like. We don't know what that's going to mean. And that's why we're having this conversation this morning. That's why I have my two guests with me. Bob Marietta, who I know you guys already know, he is our green dragon here at Howard Community College. He is the HCC's Environmental Health and Safety Supervisor. And we also have Travis Hopkins, who is the Facilities Planner and Project Manager. And I want to thank you both for joining me today to have this conversation, to answer maybe some of the questions and help people feel a little bit better about this new transition, this new coming. I know that I feel that it's a really exciting change. I think it's going to create opportunity for our students, for our faculty, for staff, and for our community as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to answer some of those questions. We're going to talk about some of the important dates coming up that people want to keep in mind. We're going to hear, you know, inside access from Bob and from Travis about maybe some of those really cool features that the building's going to have, both just, you know, the features of the building itself, but I know, Bob, we're going to go into some of those environmental things that we're taking into consideration, because as we've said before in some of our conversations, when we are growing, we have to be more mindful of taking care of our environment so that we can both continue to live in it together, right? But let's start our conversation with getting to know Travis. Travis, you're joining me for the first time. I'm really excited to have you here, and I appreciate your time this morning. Tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your job here at Howard Community College, and maybe what you're most excited about in this upcoming fall season. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show today. I started on campus actually almost 30 years ago to the day as a student, taking classes. And then a couple years, like 93 or so, I was hired for the summer to be a summer intern down in facilities. And it's been a long summer, nearly 28 years or so. Between that time, I've gotten a steady increase in my job responsibilities to my current position.
So you just took away my whole intro right there about transitions and summer to fall with having this very long summer that's still going for you. I love that. And, you know, Sorry. That shows that HCC, and that's not, you know, that's not unusual for a lot of employees here at HCC. There's some very long careers. I know here in the TV and radio department, some of the people who work with me have very long careers here at HCC. Bob, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for joining me again here in our show. I love our conversations. I know that back in June, you already had a conversation with Brendan about the athletics building, the math building, this new building that's coming up. And, you know, from that conversation, I think at that time, it was at the very, very, very beginning stages. I don't think that nothing had really taken place yet. And I know at least in the surrounding areas of the current building, there are some changes. So can you just give us an update of what has happened since you last had that conversation with Brendan until today?
Well, out there at the MAC, at the you can now see what we call a footprint. And there's fences up, and we have what we call the LOD, the limits of disturbance. And that's where the construction work is going to be taking place. And actually, I just passed by. They're out there digging today. So things are actually getting started with the MAC project. And so that's a very exciting time. But as you pointed out, fall is a time of transition. And the whole environment around us is getting ready to change. All the plants are adapting themselves for the winter, storing away their sugar, and the animals are hiding away food. And so it's a getting ready time for that dormancy period of the winter, where nature prepares itself for the change of seasons. And so if you look closely, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening, but you do have to pay attention. And if you do, you'll see the monarch butterflies are now in their chrysalises. The animals are digging deeper holes, okay, to hide in, and the plants are getting ready to drop their summer leaves. And so those leaves will fall and become insulation for the roots on the ground. So it's a preparatory time. But you do have to look a little closer to take notice of it. And around campus, we're doing the same sorts of things as we get ready. We're preparing the lawns and the trees and everything else around campus to get ready for that winter time. And this is a time of planting. We're getting ready in October to have our Campus Sustainability Day event. And part of this is we're going to be planting the flower beds for our pollinator trail as part of the Bee City program in Howard County. So we're going to be have a very active day on the 20th. With lots of workshops and other activities going on, plus people getting dirty, actually putting plants in the ground. So it's an exciting time of year, and I hope everybody can enjoy it.
I really appreciate everything that you just said, Bob, because it was a learning curve for me, as everything, right? And I continue to learn. But I was really surprised when I first heard, well, if you want your grass, if you want your flowers, if you want everything in your house to look as pretty as it can be in the next spring, you need to start now. I was like, but the winter's coming and it's going to get cold and all of these things that I'm going to do it's just not going to work. And to have that reminder that as we go from one season to the next, we don't just sit there and wait, but we need to prepare. And you're right. All we have to do is look at the animals around us and see all the work that they're doing as they're getting ready for winter, in preparation for that. So, for everybody listening and watching this morning, please just start preparing. I know winter's coming. I know. And if you're like me, you're not super excited that the temperatures are dropping. Like this morning, I stepped outside getting ready to come to work, and I was sorry that I left my coat behind. It's a little chillier, but at the same time, it's really, really pretty. You have the opportunity to have bonfires now in the evening and get some s'mores and have some quality family time right there. So enjoy the seasons, enjoy the transitions, and get prepared for the upcoming seasons, like Bob just said. In preparation, Travis, of this change that's coming to Howard Community College, help us maybe get an idea of what we can expect to see, right? We're expecting to have this building completed by 2024. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot happening in the next couple of years. So if you could just help us some key dates or, how HCC is planning for this new building to transition and be built, come up and start existing. If you can just help us wrap our minds around that time frame and like I said, some key dates or timelines, things that we can expect to see in progress with the building. I think that's a good place to start in that preparation that Bob was talking about.
Sure. So the timeline for the building is right now we're starting construction to a slow start to the construction right now. The building is going to be built in two phases. One is we dig a big hole where the parking lot H is right now, and we build our new performance gym there. We get that operational, and then we open that up for use, and then we take the old athletics and fitness building and knock that down, and then we build the rest of the building. That overall takes about 36 months or so. So it'll be this two-phase project to be able to maintain that we have a gymnasium for the for athletics to practice in and such. The exterior of the building is going to be three floors with a concrete facade, a textured concrete facade. One floor below grade, three floors above. The entrance level will be the same as Campus Drive, which will be a big change from the current location of the athletics and fitness building, which is kind of in a hole. Mathematics will be closer to the north, so closer to the remaining of the academic buildings on campus. Athletics will be on the south, with the closer to the athletic fields. The construction, there'll be, you know, the fencing is up right now that you'll see, and that's pretty much the way it's going to stay for the vast majority of the time.
Travis, I appreciate what you said, because, you know, you said that you still want to give access to our student athletes, even as construction continues to go. So, again, going back to that idea of preparation and you know, that Bob was talking about, it sounds like there's a lot of that planning, you know, involved. There's a lot of, okay, well, we have this facility that we want to make better for our students. We want to bring this new facility, all of this new technology. But we can't just take it apart and not have it available while we're doing that, right? Let's talk a little bit about that process, because I think that can bring questions many times. It's like, well, what are we going to do, and how are we going to continue to help and support our students and you know, our athletes here at HEC while construction is happening? Tell us a little bit more about those details in preparation of this new upcoming building.
So the planning process for a project like this actually starts nearly 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
Looking backwards, and we look at future needs. We look outwards to future needs and realize that, hey, the athletic and fitness building, when it was completed in the mid to late 70s, hasn't changed size at all, but the campus has definitely grown. So obviously they needed space. So we... you take that into account. Mathematics has grown also, and they're out of space. The idea came forth to build them both at the same time as one large building. That way, instead of a 4 or 5 year gap between, well, one building would be done, say, in 4 years, one would be done in 8 years, just the way the budget cycles and the funding requests happen. That's an average for the way it is funded. Moving fast forward to, say, about 18 months ago, we identified the fact that we needed to maintain, there was no gym. You can't just build a temporary gym, or you can, but it's very expensive. So every dollar you spend on something temporary is a dollar not spent on the permanent part. So we planned that, looking at building the gym separate next to the existing gym as a phase, so that way we'd always have space for our student athletes. We look at that sort of planning well in advance, you know, years in advance from when it actually starts seeing digging. So when you actually start seeing construction out there, we were already 4 or 5 years into the process. Maybe 20 months or so of design before the actual start of construction, multiple budget years before that to request and get the funding, because funding for the projects come split from the state and from the county. So they provide all the money for these projects.
You know, and the other thing, Travis, you're talking about a building, you're talking about, you know, inanimate objects. However, at the heart of it, right? You just brought it back to, well, in all of this planning and all of this talking, it's really our students. It's really, you know, our students that we're thinking about, because we're saying, okay, this building is there, it's functional, it's doing what it needs to do, right? And we could have just kept it at that, but you guys are saying, we need to provide the best for our students and for staff and for our faculty, because the campus is growing and we need to provide that space for our students to continue to grow in math and in athletics. We can't just have a building because it complies, I guess, right, with the requirements of having a building. We need to make it better. And the other part of that is in this planning, Bob, I'm sure you have also been instrumental in thinking about the environment and thinking about, okay, we're going to bring this building into the college. Well, what does that mean for our environment? And you know, how are we going to make sure that we are taking care of not just our students and the college, but also our environment in that? So let's talk a little bit about that process and some of the things that in this conversation and in all of these years of planning, you've been thinking about, Bob, when thinking of the environment and the growth here at HEC.
Well, one of the biggest factors that we've been planning for all along is stormwater. And this is, of course, very close to our hearts. We've all seen the floods in Columbia and Ellicott City. And so as we rearrange the landscape to plant a new building there, we have to be very conscious of where all the stormwater is going to go. And that's a large part of what they're doing right now, is establishing where the water would go if we suddenly had a big flood come through. And we've had those in the fall before in this area. So all of the things that you might think of having already been taken care of, with the rain gardens and the stormwater ponds and the swales and things of that sort, we have to think of how we're going to recreate the new ones for a larger building. There's going to be more water landing on the building, so it has to go somewhere, and we have to plan for that during the construction period. So the civil engineering work is what we're starting with right now to make sure that if we get hit with a big storm, that water has some place to go and can safely be, returned to the environment rather than causing a lot of damage. And Travis mentioned digging a big hole. Well, obviously, if you have a huge rainstorm, it's going to want to fill up that hole. So we have to plan for that water, where it's going to go during the construction process. And at the same time, we start looking for when the building is completed, what is the landscaping going to look like? And we've got some very interesting environmental features. There'll be the second green roof on the campus will be on top of the building. And all of the things that we're used to seeing, the rain gardens and the swales and the conservation plantings, those will all be continued, but they're much more updated. I think everybody is really going to enjoy the appearance of how the landscape architects and the building architects have planned for a very interesting and pleasing looking approach to the required landscaping that we have to put in to control the stormwater. So I think everybody's going to be very impressed with our actions in that regard.
That sounds wonderful. I can't wait to see. Bob, there was a recent press release that says that we are anticipating to receive a leadership in energy and environmental design certification. Can you tell us what that means? Can you translate that to English for everybody?
Okay. There's legislation now in Howard County and in the state that requires all public buildings of a certain size meet certain requirements, okay, to protect the environment. These are codified in what is called LEED, in the Leadership and Environmental Education and Design. And so these are rules that are updated every year. They require certain environmental actions be taken when you plan and construct and operate a new building. Now, you can earn different levels. You can be certified. It can be a silver. It can be a gold or a platinum. Now, currently, our newest buildings have reached the gold standard. The minimum requirements are the silver standard in Howard County. And so this building, because of the complicated nature of it, the large gym spaces and such, we're only going to be able to achieve silver instead of gold like we've done in previous ones. And it comes down to a matter of cost. They keep increasing the requirements each year, trying to make the environment better and better. But of course, those things cost more and more to achieve the gold would cost us probably another $1 million. And the state and the county just don't have the funding to put toward it at this time.
Wow. So, you know, protect the environment. You need money for that. But Bob, we've talked about this before, right? And we've said that, and I understand, I mean, here we're talking about millions of dollars. So you have to, you know, it's a different type and level of conversation. But when we are at home, we've talked about different things that we can do at home. You've always said that it's better to put that extra money up front, protect the environment, you know, get the better quality product that has all of these other features rather than not put that money up front. And I'm comparing apples to pumpkins probably here, right? Because we're talking millions of dollars and, you know, maybe 10 or 20 when you're looking at your own home. But how can we, you know, if there was a certification or something like that, right, at our homes, what are some of the things that you think that maybe we could start looking at, or where should we start, right? If we were like trying to earn our home certification that we are sustainable, where do we start? What do we start with? What are we looking at?
Okay. Well, there are a number of different organizations that have scorecards that you can take, groups like the Sierra Club and others, where you can measure your own carbon footprint. And you can try and see what your impact is on the earth. And of course, we all want to try and reduce what we're doing. If you're building a new building, a new house, the developer can actually earn the LEED awards, okay, for a new building.
But not just for big buildings, it's for houses too.
Right, okay, and for things like subdivisions or entire cities can fall under the LEED designation now, okay, if they plan everything to meet those requirements. But there's lots of things that you can look at individually. Solar power for your house, of course, is one of the more expensive ones. But there's cost-free ways to do that as well and to look at. But look at your energy use. You know, more and more people are being encouraged to go with all electric, okay, appliances and stuff, since we can produce the electricity without producing as much harm to the environment. So think of things like that. And if you already have gas appliances, try and reduce their use. Okay? Things like putting out a clothesline, okay, outdoors instead of a gas dryer. Okay, reducing the amount of hot water, okay, that you're using. Don't you love those commercials that they show recently with iced tea and Stone Cold, telling people to use cold water with their Tide detergent? Okay. So there is a change of awareness, okay, coming along, yeah. And you don't really need to use as much hot water and generally as much energy as we're all used to using. So there are lots of things that you can think of what you're doing. Now, before we talked about always trying to buy the best one that you can, okay, because it's going to last longer. And if we buy lots of cheap things, they all wind up in the landfill. And of course, things in the landfill, as they decay, they produce pollution, and which that affects our climate change. And so there's things like that you can always keep aware of. Extra food is another thing. We all buy too much food and we wind up throwing a lot of it away. And when we do, if we're doing good, we get it to compost. And so compost, as it decomposes, produces a little bit of CO2. But if we put it in the landfill where it gets sealed up, it produces methane. And methane is like 40 to 50 times as bad for the environment as the CO2 is. So little actions like that can go a long way towards reducing your individual footprint. And that also helps all of us in reducing the climate change that we're all having to deal with right now.
And I think it's empowering to know that, you know, you don't have to necessarily be building a brand new house or be part of the committee of building, you know, a new exciting building like we are here at HEC to make a difference and to make an impact. You can do it right at home. And that's why I always try to bring it back to home when we have our conversations, Bob, because I think it's important for all of us, and myself included, to really stand behind this and really start to look at our houses and really start to look at our spaces, you know, work, home, everywhere that we go. What can we do? How can we do better? You know, how can we minimize the trash that we are leaving behind? You know, can we, instead of taking disposable things, take reusable containers? Just little things like that that I appreciate from our conversations, and you inspire me to try to do better every time. I'm not perfect, and you're still going to find me with a disposable here and there, but I am trying. I really am being more conscious about it, and that's a start. That's really a start. Travis, what are some of the features that you're most excited about our new building here at HCC? I mean, you have all of the scoop. You know exactly what's coming. You know exactly what it's going to look like. What are some of the things that really get you excited and you think that you just can't wait to see?
That's an unfair question to have me prioritize the parts of the building, because they're all really awesome in their own way. I'll say with mathematics. So with mathematics, you know, we moved the entire mathematics department over to a new space. So all new offices for them, larger offices, if I remember right, which is always good. Classrooms, I think there's close to 24 or so. That number might even be low for what we have for classrooms. A mix of computer classrooms and the traditional desks and chairs classrooms. And they're all the flexible type that are like located over in that we've just built in Academic Commons and Howard Hall. So those are really exciting sort of spaces to have. Into adjacent to those, up on the second and third floor, there's a very large study area. The architects call it the living room. The mathematics department's called one of the particular areas the heart of the department. So it's this big open study area for the students, and that's framed by a large super window that they'll be able to get a lot of light in. Hopefully not too much light. That's always a balancing act that you have to do. So that's exciting. There's a large meeting area for events. If they're having, like I said, math, they have their math event every year. Hopefully they'll be able to have that there. There is large meeting areas. Yeah. So over in athletics, we have the performance gym. So a nice new shiny wood floor, fancy gym with bleachers, seating for about a little over 900 seats. You enter in at the second floor and then go down onto the bleachers rather than, say, walking across the gym floor. So a nice new way of coming into the gym. There's a second gym, auxiliary practice gym for doing other events and what, so they can run two separate things at the same time. Which is a big increase in capability for the athletics department. More locker rooms for the teams. I think we have five teams, five different lockers for each men's and women's teams. So like 10 total. So there's a lot of space there. A very large training area for rehab. Rehab and first aid. There's a large fitness room. So if you're familiar with the current fitness room being the very small, this one is 4 or 5 times larger than what the current one is. And even then, there's a separate athletes training room. So that way the athletes have their own room to go do their exercises. And then sort of the final piece is a very nice sort of multi-purpose room. Think like a more athletic-centered dance studio, sort of large area to do, like, you know, you could do your Zumba, if that's still a thing, yoga, potentially like Tai Chi or other sort of activities in there that don't need a whole gym. So I think I've covered most of the building.
So that sounds super exciting. Great.
Yeah, I have to throw in, there's one incredible feature that we're taking the lead again, and that's being proactive in protecting birds. Now, some of you may have heard about how many migratory birds slam into the buildings every year because birds don't see glass. They didn't evolve around glass. So they think they can fly through the window. So we are building this building with treatments to the glass and positioning the glass so that reduces the number of impacts that we'll have with birds. So we're very excited about that. And we've actually had several workshops where we're bringing in other architects from around the state and the county to see what we're doing. So we're setting the standard for how to protect the birds in our area. And we oftentimes don't realize how important those migratory birds are to us. A large part of our food depends on those birds showing up at the time of year that they do to eat the insects that otherwise would eat our food. And of course, if we don't have the birds, then we can spray poison and other things around to kill those insects. But we have a natural system that's evolved to have those birds show up at the right time of year to eat those insects as they continue their migration. And so we want to do what we can in a built environment to minimize the amount of impact that our buildings have on those migratory birds.
So, Bob, we've talked about stormwater, right? We've talked about green roof. We've talked about the treatment, protecting the birds for, you know, on the windows. What's another exciting feature on the building that maybe we haven't had an opportunity to talk about where we are taking the environment into consideration?
Well, there's some fundamental things that you never even think about and see, and that's the HVAC systems, water systems in the building, the sanitary systems. All of these now are required by LEED to have a very small impact on the environment. And so you would never even be aware that those things are there, but we're building them in as part of the basic structure. And so we're very excited about those.
Yeah, can you give us some examples of what that means?
Okay, well, there's controls on how hot the water is in your faucets. And not only that, but the producing of that water is timed so that we only have that hot water available when we need it. So oftentimes in your home, that hot water heater is chugging away all day long. In the building, we'll turn it on when we're going to need it and plan ahead for it. The amount of water that comes out of each faucet or with each toilet flush is controlled to minimize how much fresh water we're actually using on the building. And of course, with the stormwater again, we're channeling all that rainwater that falls on the roof and on the grounds to put it to the places where the plants need it. So more of it gets absorbed by the plants, and also less of it is allowed to run off and flow down to the Chesapeake Bay.
Travis, let's talk about traffic and the impact that construction, because at least I think of construction and inevitably think of the cones and, you know, redirecting traffic and, you know, all of those other issues that sometimes arise when there's construction. What is HEC thinking the impact will be on our traffic here on campus and also, you know, for the surrounding community?
Sure. Just to add on to Bob's point a little bit with the LEED stuff, some of the things you don't see like is the insulation. So we are required to have a certain sort of insulation on it. It's passive. You never, you know, it's there for the entire length of the building. So there's these other systems that we put in place that you don't know about that just sort of work without being exciting or whatnot. So with traffic, traffic is a heavy consideration when we start these buildings. I've done two new buildings. I helped with the SET building and the health sciences building, and two parking garages, the West Garage and the East Garage expansion. So traffic flow is always a talking point, both on and off campus. So this is a very traditional sort of construction. We're not dragging in like any 100-foot long beams or anything crazy. So traffic off campus shouldn't be that terribly disruptive. There'll be, you know, there's a whole bunch of other construction going on downtown Columbia right now that's bringing in large pieces of concrete to crane into place and things. And I don't live directly in Columbia, so I don't know what the impact has been, but usually they time those to avoid traffic jams and such. So coming, the trucks coming in and off campus should be relatively quick. Now, once they get onto campus, one of the priorities is to get them into the construction site as quickly as possible. One, to avoid traffic jams on campus, but also for safety, because you got trucks sitting around, potentially blocking lanes or whatnot, causes sort of disruptive traffic, but also safety concerns. So the idea would be to get anything that's coming in into the fence as quickly as possible. And that's usually the way we've been able to operate for that. Now, saying that is, we are building directly along Campus Drive. So there might be some cases where we've had to go to, like, say, a one lane or whatnot. At this time, we don't have any need to block the entirety of campus Campus Drive off, like we did when we did the Health Sciences building, where we redid the entire front circle. We blocked that off over the summer, but also with the SET building, where we took the Campus Drive and lowered it 3 to 6 feet, depending on where it was at. We dug down and flattened the road out, and again, we closed the entire road for that. We timed that during summer. So we try and time any disruptions that we have potentially during off hours. So there's the holidays, you know, between fall and spring, or fall and winter semester. There's those summer semesters a little bit less busy on campus. So we try and time any activities like that. But sometimes we get stuck with pulling in, you know, having to pull in, say, a long truck or something like that in the middle of campus. We had to do that with the West parking garage, where we were bringing in 70-foot long pieces of concrete, pulling them directly to the side of the road, and then lifting them off with a big crane and putting them into place like a giant Lego sets. So that, again, is something that we start planning, you know, a year plus ago. We're all about this long-range planning. So our seasons for these things are much longer than the actual seasons for the outside.
I have to say, the way that you just describe it, that construction process, you know, compared to Lego, putting together Legos, that sounded so cool. I mean, that's just like, you know, and I think that's another thing that I want to elevate here is we've been talking about this building. We've been talking about, you know, what's coming and the changes that are coming to campus. But if you're listening and watching, and maybe you are a high school student, or maybe you're an HEC student, and you're still trying to decide and figure out, okay, well, I know that I like construction, or but I don't want to be the person who is, you know, I don't want to be out there necessarily on the field. Well, there's so many careers, there's so many opportunities. So I encourage you to take a look at what HCC has to offer. A community college, especially if you're not sure exactly where you want to go with your career, is the perfect place for you to come and explore. Because if you have a sense of where you want to go, this is where you can really come in and just, you know, spend less money and just kind of like figure that out, right? And go from one class to the other. I don't know, maybe, you know, you have this opportunity to talk to people like Travis, talk to people like Bob, and just ask them those questions about, you know, what it is like and what can you do with a certain degree when you want to go in a route that maybe is not the traditional way, right? If you're like me, you think construction, you think outside with the hard, you know, with the hard hats and just working really hard. Maybe that's not what you want to do. There's other opportunities. There's other things. And HEC is a great place for you to come and explore those opportunities that are available for you. Travis and Bob, I want to ask you each, you know, what do you think is the biggest benefit of adding this new building to our campus? The biggest benefit for our students, for our staff, but also for our community at large? Wow. I'll let either one of you guys take it.
So from my perspective, we're increasing the size of the both of the mathematics and the athletics department space. So we won't have to like stack the teams on top of each other to try and get in and out of a tiny locker room. You know, we'll have a athletics department sized for the size of the campus we are now, and a little bit of growing room for the future. For the same thing with the mathematics department, the building is designed. It's required to be designed larger than to allow for, I think, 15 years of growth. So there's always more offices than we have faculty at current times, and there's usually a couple more classrooms, and that's a requirement from the state to make sure we don't move into a building and we're already full. You know, that doesn't help us down the road for the future. If we just move into a full building, then we're just, why do we build it in the first place? So the biggest benefit is there, it gives us some growth room, gives us some space to expand a bit. The location of the building moves the math department from the Hickory Ridge building over to a more central location in the campus. So that repositions them from a pathway perspective and getting there. You can get there from here, get to there much easier than, well, not easier. I mean, Hickory Ridge is kind of hiding behind a parking garage right now. But the location there also, but also by taking math and coupling it with athletics, you now have, everyone's got to take a math class. So they're coming in and just like, hey, why don't I go to the fitness center while I'm here, blow off some steam after statistics or, you know, Calc 3 or something, you know? Mind and body sort of coupling there is an interesting theme that we've worked with throughout the design of the thing. I know I talk a lot about the physical building and such, but the, you know, behind all that is a team of faculty and staff who are super dedicated to help contribute to make the building successful.
I really appreciate everything you just said about that. You know, bringing that mental health piece into that is not just, yes, we care about giving you and providing you with the best education and the best experience at school, but for you to get that best experience and for you to really have a good time in school, we understand here at HEC that it's not just the academics, that we have to look at the whole person. So Travis, you really just straight to my heart here with what you just said. It's not about a building, it's about the people again, right? And thinking as a whole of that person, understanding that you're here to learn, but we also want to make sure that you are well, that you are good. And what better way to take care of yourself than, you know, your mental health, your physical health, everything right there in that one new building that we are putting up here for you at HEC. Bob, what would you say is the biggest benefit of this new building?
Well, I think it's the careers of our students in the future. And when we move math out of the Hickory Ridge building, the continuing education department will occupy that entire building. And this happens at a time when we're increasing our apprenticeship programs. And we need that space desperately for those. And these are for the new high-tech jobs that are coming along. So many of them are tied into climate change. We have a big HVAC program, a general contractor, a construction management program. We have a solar installer program that is just getting started. And these are the careers of the future. And of course, all of them require math. Okay, so we need our students, no matter where they're going, to be able to take those classes. And those numbers are going to be increasing more and more as we need people to take on these careers as we get ready for the future.
It's all about opportunity and it's all about our students. One question I would be remiss if I didn't ask Travis is, because we're talking about bigger space, more buildings, that means more people, more students. And I know that parking is always a question when we talk about HEC, and that's why we have the two big garages there. So tell us a little bit about, you know, that space. We're taking some garage. You said we're building right on top of, I think you said, parking lot H, if I'm not mistaken. So help us navigate how parking is going to be affected or how we're considering that in this new building.
So we have usually built new buildings on top of parking lots. Duncan Hall if you want to go back to 2003. So we progressively land these buildings onto parking. This is one of the first ones where we're actually about two thirds of the way off of actually a parking lot. And in this case, we're just on another building, which we'll knock down. That'll be a fun time. So we lose, I believe it's about 100 spaces for this. Now, of course, we put some back and whatnot. The west parking garage and the surface lots over by Hickory Ridge the west parking garage has been, depending on the semester and whatnot, should be able to handle the extra 100 spaces or no. And if not, the east parking garage and the associated expansion, that's 1200 spaces alone right there, which is a pretty easy walk over to the Mac building. Will be nearby. And, they're not directly adjacent to the building, but we, there's some room in there to carry the extra parking. This is, it looks like a long walk, but it's kind of scenic because it's down a hill and then up a hill. Hopefully, we'll have some opportunities to improve the pathways between the connections between the north buildings and the new south, the math and athletics complex.
And it gives you an opportunity to really see a little more campus, in my opinion. And it is right. You're right. It's so pretty, and you can get to see a lot of nature when you're walking just in between those two buildings. So, as we were saying before, exercise in your mind and everything else that comes with that. So it's a good excuse to get a warm up if you may with that little walk right there.
Yeah. Students and have Chris, asked sometimes. Students have asked sometimes about the distance. I says, have you been to College Park? A large Maryland campus, or any of those big ones. You're trekking. The walk from your parking lot to your classroom building would be longer than this campus. So, sorry, go ahead, Bob.
Transportation is predicted to change very much. The single car or single driver driving and parking is probably going to be a thing of the past as the price of gasoline and other energy factors keep contributing, plus the changes in downtown Columbia. The large population is going to be moving into buildings that don't have places for them to park, so they're not going to have cars. And they're going to be taking Ubers and the scooters and the public transportation, the bus system. And so we're adapting ourselves to meet that bus system. There'll be a much friendlier access into the Mac building where the bus will drop you off right in front of the entrance area. And so it'll be much, much easier. And we're working with the bus companies, with the county as well, to get even more discounts for our students. They just recently started giving middle school and high school students free bus passes. And so we're negotiating with them if we can do that for our students. They need people to be riding the buses. And another factor is that with this downtown, with all the people down there, it's going to be much more traffic trying to get. So it's much, much more incentive not to drive just because of the traffic that's going to be tying up the downtown. So we're trying to stay on top of that and make sure we're prepared for the changes in public transportation. And coming up soon, you'll be seeing the scooters, starting in the spring. So those will add an interesting element to it, along with the bike share system that we have right now. And we're expecting to have another bike share station over on that side of campus. So we're going to keep adapting, to the transportation needs.
And, talking about adapting, I know that COVID also, not that it was new for HCC because we were already offering online classes, but I think we were able to make it even a little more accessible and to offer more options, right? So, and I'm sure that also will have an impact because it creates opportunity for a lot of our students to be able to further their education when they can't, because of their busy schedules, make it to campus necessarily. So, you know, we have hybrid options. We have fully online. We have remote schedule. I mean, we have, and in person, obviously, as well. So you have all of these options. And I have to say, I mean, this semester, I know there's a couple of different reasons why, but a big one is that our students are telling us that they do prefer that flexibility, that either hybrid or scheduled remote or, you know, fully remote classes allow them and offer them, because they can continue to pursue their goals, complete their educations, and be part of HCC. And if you are one of our online students, I still suggest that you come to campus at least once. You have to come and see everything that's here. It is really a truly beautiful campus. We are closing our show. We're very, very close to ending our show. Travis, where can people stay up to date? Where can they find information? Where can they see what's happening in regards to the construction of the new building?
So sometimes there's the occasional press release. I believe it's put out on the website. There's sometimes we get some pretty good coverage in Baltimore Sun. I believe we're planning a website to sort of keep maybe a monthly update or so of how things are progressing and what's coming up. That's kind of still a work in progress. And it involves a couple of different departments besides just mine. So I think keep an eyeball out, and once I know where that's at, I'll send it to you so you can get it out to people.
Perfect. Absolutely. Because I know that our community is excited. I know our community has questions. I know that there's a lot of buzz around this new building, and it's important for you to stay connected with it. And I know that some students are looking forward to, you know, high school students are saying, oh, this building's coming. I want to be part of that. I just want to see if it's going to be ready when I graduate. So, you know, just keep that in mind. And Bob, where can we stay in tune with all things, you know, sustainability? Where can we connect, get ideas, and just continue to be informed and challenged, really, to do better?
Okay. Well, we have the green team, okay, on campus, can be reached at howardcc.edu/green. And then for more detailed information about what's going on in the environment, we recommend that everybody Google Live Green Howard County. And they have a website there that connects people to us and to all the other organizations and government agencies that are doing sustainable work in the county. So it's Live Green Howard County.
And if you go to howardcc.edu, that's our main website, there's a search bar there where I just go and type anything that I'm looking for that is related to HCC. So, you know, in preparations for this conversation this morning, I just went in there and said Mac building, and you'll get all of the information that's out there available to you. And same thing, right, about sustainability and green dragons. You can just go and type that on that search bar at howardcc.edu, and that's going to populate a number of articles, a number of links, a number of things that you can just go and check out. Is there anything else that either one of you guys would like to say before we wrap our conversation up today?
I would just like everybody to enjoy the fall. Yeah.
Enjoy the fall, and that's okay. That's perfect timing as always for us. I'm just super happy to be able to, you know, contribute yet again to the campus to help out. It might take 3 or 4 years, but we'll have some new spaces and running around on campus. It's just always exciting to see these. I take the day off whenever we open a new building. I take the day off on the first day of classes, so I can just sit in the lobby and watch people come in and go, wow. It's really it makes it worth all the lost sleep. Lost hair and such. So,
I have to ask a little more about that. I know that we don't have a whole lot of time left, but when you've done that before, Travis, I mean, tell us, you know, what's that like? What's that experience? What's that energy like that makes you take a day off and go and sit there and just kind of see the reactions from everybody?
It's, you know, we'll do all these reveals and such, show the plans to people and everything and such. But, you know, on the first day of opening, you have people who've never seen the building before, and they just come in and just look around, or they've seen it being built. This is the first time they might be able to see the inside of it. And so you just sit there and you watch them, and they come in and they just look around and go, you know, wow, you know, it still smells new. They have that, it's got that new building smell that they put in there. So it's just, and it just makes, like I said, it just makes me go, this is cool. Love to help contribute to the students, you know, even in this direct yet indirect sort of way, because I'm not out there teaching. So I'm not directly contributing to the student's success, but we're providing the facilities to enable the faculty to be able to deliver their teaching to, you know, help the students, you know, for the students to learn. And then we have space, the study spaces and all those other little things that we put in there to help with the student, ultimate student success, to where they can, you know, just excel at what they're aiming at. At least we, you know, just my contribution there, that's to the campus. So
we thank you for that contribution. It's a very, very important one. Bob and Travis, thank you so much for joining me today. I've really appreciated our time together and our conversation. Thank you for helping us envision what the future of this MAC building is going to look like, for helping us understand, you know, some of the things that are obvious, right, that have been put all of this effort to make this building great for students, great for faculty, great for our environment, but also for helping us really see inside, right? And the heart of what's really bringing this building together, where it's looking at the person, looking at the at all of our students and everybody that's going to benefit from this building as a whole, right? You talked about mind, spirit, connection, right? We talked about the physical part, but also the internal part. And we did the same thing with the building. So I hope everybody enjoyed and got just as much as I did from this conversation, because I think it shows that really we want to help our students as you know, as the slogan says, get there from here. But we understand that in that process, we need to take a look and we need to really care about all of that they are, all of who they are, so that they can actually get to their goal from here, from Howard Community College, right here in Columbia, Howard County. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please share this information with all of your friends, with all of your classmates, with everybody out there, your family, and enjoy the rest of today, and come and check HCC out. We are building the future right here. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Until next time, I am Cris Oviedo. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.